Track two. The show will go on. Professionally trained classical singer Stephen Crocker's voice has echoed around the vaulted ceilings of cathedrals in Paris and his country of Wales. But it is as the voice and face of the East's biggest arts group that he is best known as Chief Executive of Norwich Theatre, running the Theatre Royal, Norwich Playhouse and Stage 2. As the arts pulls itself back up post-lockdown, he talked to Angela Adams.
When did your love of the arts and the theatre begin?
I grew up in South Wales. Someone could always be heard singing in our house. Music and singing was big in my family. My grandfather was an inspiration too. He was a club singer who performed Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby numbers. He worked the same circuit as Shirley Bassey. I was encouraged to pursue singing from a very early age. For that, I consider myself fortunate, as, to be honest, I was never the most academically gifted child. However, I could sing and perform and loved both. Over the years, I've played several instruments, some of them badly, from flute to trombone, violin and cello, but the piano has always been my real passion and the instrument I always return to. On the day we left the Theatre Royal for lockdown, the team were checking to ensure everyone was okay, and one member asked for my car keys. I didn't think anything of it until we'd locked the building and I returned to my car, and the technical team had placed an electric piano on the back seat. I can't thank them enough. Playing the piano kept me sane during the ensuing enforced months at home.
So you're a classically trained singer. Tell me more.
The opportunity to sing as a career arose while I was studying French at university in Paris. Formal music was popular in France, so I was able to train and pick up singing work alongside my academic studies. And once I completed my degree, I turned to singing as a profession, initially at the American Cathedral in Paris. Singing is an incredibly social activity, one which allows you to meet many people, some of whom ask you to perform at other venues, so I wasn't short of work. Deep down, I knew I was interested in all areas of the arts, hence my current position, although I was still performing professionally up until 8 years ago. I do miss singing professionally and the sense of being in the moment that it provides, just you and your voice, responding to other singers and conductors. It's magical.
What made you transition from performer to CEO?
Well, most singers fill their time when not singing by teaching others to sing. Well, I was never terribly good at teaching, so I thought I'd do young singers a favour and follow a different path. I'm interested in all areas of the arts, so when I was presented with the opportunity to manage and continue to be creative, the transitions occurred naturally. This began when I was singing at St. Martin in the Fields in London. A huge £36 million development campaign was launched, the renewal of St. Martin in the Fields. And I was asked to put together a team who knew the building and were good at educating philanthropists about what the space could do and what it had the potential to become. It was an amazing project centred on preserving, refreshing and renewing the building for the future. And during my time in post, the team raised £27 million for the campaign, so it'll always be a special part of my life.
What is it like leading the largest arts organisation in the east of England?
Oh, wonderful. And a privilege that I never take for granted. The last 18 months have taught me just how much of a privilege it is to work in the arts and how quickly the tap can be turned off. Leading such a large organisation with regards to responsibilities and representation can only work with the assistance of a great team, and we're all in this together.
Tell me about this year's panto.
Dick Whittington and His Cat is our panto of choice. It should have been staged in 2020, but we had to delay for a year, for obvious reasons. It's a pantomime that hasn't been performed at the theatre in a very long time, so it's great to bring the classic Rags to Riches story back into the limelight. We're giving the story a couple of twists, as we always do with panto, and we've just announced our first casting, Joe Tresini. Some may know Joe from Channel 4's Hollyoaks. And Joe is also an inspirational individual who's been so open about his battle with depression. Richard Gauntlett is also returning. This will be his 21st year performing in Panto for us. The Playhouse will also stage an alternative show, Robin Good. That's a politico panto based around the Robin Hood story for young people aged 14 plus who we feel will engage with the narrative.
Do you have a favourite genre of performance?
Well, having a favourite would be a hamstring in my job. Those who know me would tell you I'll watch and enjoy almost any genre of performance.
Is there a performer who inspires you?
Well, any performer who is constantly evolving and pushing their boundaries I find massively inspirational. The classic example would be Madonna. She's always bold and brave and different. I find that truly amazing. Another one is Sir Ian McKellen, who I've been lucky enough to meet a few times, who's still playing Hamlet in his 80s. I remember a decade ago when he said, "I want to be in Coronation Street," and just went and did it. I love that.
What role do you feel the arts play in today's society?
I knew the answer to that pre-COVID, but these days I feel it's changed. The arts bring people together to share emotion in the same space and as humans. We have a yearning, a need for togetherness, which we lost during the pandemic. The arts are a brilliant conveyor of that togetherness and sharing, which is so important. We still need to sit and laugh with others. And many people have said they're not consumers of the arts or culture, but I challenge that and ask, well, how many watch Netflix or similar during lockdown?
Tell me about the difference between the Theatre Royal, the Playhouse and Stage 2.
We're one organisation with three stages, although during the pandemic we've added two more, the digital stage and a pop-up stage. The basic difference is down to the size of each venue, but you can see a variety of diverse work in each of the spaces, and each experience is different too. Now, for example, at one end we offer the grandest Glyndebourne performance of opera, and then at the other, the Royal English Touring Company Opera perform at Stage 2 for mums and babies.
What activities are on offer over the coming months?
Our activities programme will continue with numerous art forms, from workshops, our young people's company and drop-in activities, to offerings for the older generation with our Limelighters drama group and Silver Swans ballet group. And we put a lot of effort into engaging with the older and isolated members of our community during lockdown, sending packs to care homes and enabling our community choir to be accessible via Zoom. And currently we're delivering creative community inquiry sessions in Thetford, Diss and Great Yarmouth, giving attendees the chance to experience drama and craft workshops and asking what they'd like us to provide in the future.
The theatre has supported young people through work experience in the past. Will that return?
Yes, and in the not-too-distant future. We've often taken quite a large number of work experience students, and we're scaling back up at the moment. We're considering how to accommodate not only years 10 and 11, but older teenagers and university students. 2021 sees us working in an exciting new way with schools, initially in partnership with the 11 schools of the Wensum Trust and with the Paul Hamlin Foundation. The project Wise About Words, of which I'm particularly proud, will support students aged 7 to 14 through storytelling to aid mindfulness and well-being. We also hope to support educational underachievers and children who may be finding it difficult to return to the classroom post-lockdown. We need to be responsive and can't ignore the fact that some are finding readjustment and the return to school difficult. The project will also equip teachers with the specific skills associated with the delivery of storytelling.
Tell me more about the Young Cultural Leaders Initiative.
This is a new training programme for the often forgotten 18 to 30 age group. We'll be teaching leadership skills and a broader understanding of arts and culture. Interestingly, many young people don't look to the arts as a business or a career choice unless they're performers. We aim to showcase the numerous roles available from human resources to accounting, marketing and communications, front of house, and so much more. We know the arts are a rather special area to work in, and not only for creatives. We need to be more inclusive of young people, as there's a real challenge with regards to the lack of diversity in arts leadership. So engaging younger voices is vitally important.
And how can the local community support the work you do?
We're lucky in that we have a great friends scheme and a great community of people who are loyal to the theatre. We're so much more than the tickets we sell. We provide welcoming city centre spaces, and we want people to spend time in our buildings. So with this in mind, we launched the new Café Royal in the old 1930s ground floor space of the Theatre Royal. Our Prelude restaurant opened its doors again in early October and has always been a sellout for pre-theatre meals. One of the most magical things about our buildings is the buzz in the foyer before a show. Now, the Playhouse is also an amazing meeting space. I feel our cultural buildings should be used for the good of the local community.
And what is the best thing about living in Norfolk?
I've never known a place with such an amazing natural landscape. It's glorious to get up on a Saturday morning and within half an hour be at the beach or on the Broads. It is one of the most beautiful natural landscapes I've had the pleasure to live in. Norwich is also a very cool city. It's got a handle on being okay with its past, but also happy in its present.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I want to say thank you to Norfolk. The past 18 months have been tough. Without the major financial support from the government, we wouldn't be here today. But one of the strongest strings to our bow is the loyalty and support of our visitors throughout lockdown, and more recently, their patience during the rescheduling of shows. We're constantly, diligently working in the background to provide a community service, and we're so very grateful for the way people have stuck with us, supported us, and loved us. That is the real reason we're still here today, and the reason I know we'll thrive again in the future. Norwich and Norfolk love their theatres and culture.
Theatre Royal, Dick Whittington and his cat. Tickets are from £18.50, and it runs until the 9th of January. The Playhouse, Robin Good, the Political Panto. Tickets are from £14 and the show finishes on the 19th of December. Call 01603 630000 or visit norwichtheatre.org.